Hey, yo, say hello to the bad guy, Scott Hall.
Hey, this is Olympic gold medalist Kurt Angle from TNA. Oh, it's real. It's damn real.
Hi, this is Booker T, the five-time WCW champion, and you're listening to SNS Radio Network.
Yo, monkeys, it's me, P-P-P, the king of Bada Bing, the master of the diamond cutter, the three-time world champion. Stay tuned or you will feel bang!
Hey, you listen on the SNS Network, and that's the bottom line. The Gold Tetra.
The world is listening.
Welcome to Get in the Zone. There is no escape on the SNS Radio Network.
We're the two best hosts that anyone could have. We're the two best hosts that anyone could have.
The Bronx Father, Donnie Mirabella.
And Anthony.
My God!
Farley.
Really? Really?
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Should old acquaintance be forgot and never brought to mind? Should old acquaintance be forgot and days of old lang syne? For old lang syne.
All right, everybody. Good evening. Happy New Year. It's 2014, and we're back. I am the Bronx Father, Tony J. Mirabella. This is Get in the Zone right here on the SNS Radio Network. Hope everyone had a great holiday, a great Christmas, a great New Year, or whatever holidays you celebrated. Hope it was good. We're back and better than ever, and with me is my co-host in training once again this year. He is the new one, the grasshopper, Anthony Farley. Anthony, what's up, bud?
Greetings, Sensei Bronx.
Snatch the pebble from my hand. Snatch it, motherfucker.
You too quick, Sensei.
What's up, man? How was your holiday?
It was basically just hanging out with the family and all that. Fortunately, I have all three of my nieces and nephews, and I like to refer to them as the Triad of Terror. Fortunately, it was not that chaotic. It was pretty downbeat and all that. Same thing for the new year, just standing with the close-knit, my inner family.
Yeah, that's about what I did, man. I kind of had, it's funny because I had like a week and a half off, then I went back to work this last Thursday, and then yesterday Mother Nature decided to dump about 50 feet of snow on us, so I didn't go to work yesterday because obviously we were closed. So for me, I'm still kind of on vacation, so hopefully Monday I will get back to normal. But the weather here has been, it's almost been Canadian.
Yeah, JD is probably like, oh, 5 feet of snow? Oh, please, come on.
Oh, that brother, he doesn't care, man. He lives up there where it's like minus. But I tell you, we did have Calgary-like temperatures here, so it's you know, something to behold. But I'm glad to get back kind of into wrestling. I actually took a week off from watching wrestling. Last week, I started watching again, and I just figured, you know, take a week off. And we had a good Raw. We had a good SmackDown last night. But you know what? Now, I had made a promise on this show, and the promise was that I, before I'm misquoted, I would not be covering TNA anymore. But someone got in touch with me, a familiar face. I've co-hosted with this gentleman before, and he said that he'd be willing to recap TNA for us. So I'm like, okay, your funeral.
Poor bastard.
So with that said, let's bring on the new TNA recapper for Get in the Zone.
Holy God, what do you want?
I'm taking your train.
You're taking my train?
Impact. 4, 3, 2, 1. Well, in case you couldn't have figured it out by now, you're probably stupid, because welcome back once again, it's been a while, to the SNS Radio Network, the one, the only, L-Train. What's going on, bud?
Hey, yo, guys, glad to be here on Get in the Zone. What's going on with you guys? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, man.
Likewise, but Bronx, why are you telling me this? I didn't know anything about this. Are you trying to replace me already?
Well, I mean, I'm always open to suggestions. You never know.
That's how it is.
Wait, hey, no offense to you, Anthony, but from listening to Impact this week, I did hear a certain line that Taz had said that some people like chocolate and some people like vanilla. So for those people who like both, they're getting me to do the Impact recap.
You see, now I was going to fucking try to stay away from that. I had said, you know what, I got a joke. I had like a ton of jokes already written. And I said to myself, you know what, nah, let's not go there. But see, now you've opened yourself up to the type of abuse that you probably didn't want.
What, Lloyd's the official member, the half and half member of SNS?
I was going to use Michael Jackson's Black or White for his intro, but then I said, you know what, let me be nice.
Oh, don't worry, Bronx. I'm sure there'll be many, many more times for you to pull that out.
Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt. So let's get it straight, man. Like I said before you came on, I myself am done watching TNA. I haven't watched it in weeks. I've read about it, but I don't think it's fair to do a kind of recap unless you've actually managed to sit through it. So I'll tell you what, man. Let's get started. Break it down. What went down two nights ago on Impact?
All right, guys. Well, two nights ago on January 2nd, we had the first official aired edition of Impact for the year of 2014. We opened the show showing off the coronation of the new TNA World Heavyweight Champion, Magnus. That will be going on later on in the night, as well as an X Division title rematch between the champion Austin Aries and Chris Sabin. We opened the show with Kurt Angle coming out, addressing the crowd, stating that my name is Kurt Angle, and 2013 was the worst year of my career. He highlights moments such as the battles that he's had with Aces and Eights to personal issues that have kept him out of the ring, including bringing up mentions of declining his entry into the TNA Hall of Fame. He says that 2013, he was anything but a cyborg. As he goes on about an important announcement he has, Bobby Roode interrupts him and asks, are we seeing the end, the witness of Kurt Angle? Are we seeing Kurt Angle walking away like Jeff Hardy did last week, that he doesn't have it anymore? Roode goes on to say that that's fine, but he'd like Angle to do one thing. He'd like him to tell the world that Bobby Roode is better than him. Kurt cuts him off, saying that that's not what he's out here for. He's out here to say that in 2014, he's going to kick ass and that he wants one more match with Roode. Roode obviously states that he has nothing left to prove and that he's done with Angle, unless there's something on the line. Roode states that not if, but when he beats him again, Kurt Angle is to leave and to decline any type of offer to once again be inducted into the TNA Hall of Fame. And he wants this match to happen at Genesis.
All right, now that's... I'm sorry to interrupt, man. That's interesting, because I know Kurt has about 8 months left on his contract, which is interesting. So Genesis, I don't even know when that's going to be.
That's some next week's.
Oh, okay. So it just goes to show, you know what, let me just let Train continue because I just proved my ignorance, so go on, Train.
Actually, I know. I think it's actually a couple weeks. That's the next set, first tapings they're supposed to be doing.
All right, so you just proved your ignorance. Train, go on.
Well, Kurt does accept the challenge, but he says that since Bobby Roode has a stipulation, Kurt would like to make one. That at Genesis, it will be Bobby Roode versus Kurt Angle inside of a steel cage. Roode flips out for a bit, but then after thinking on his past victories, he looks Kurt in the face and says, "You're on." But also includes a sucker punch, which leads to a brawl between the two. TNA officials and Rockstar Spud come out trying to keep the peace, which warrants Kurt Angle shoving Spud right on his British ass. Spud then flips out, saying that this is not a night to be ruined with the coronation of Magnus to come later on. But if the two of them want to fight, he'll let them fight in a tag team match. He wants the two of them to go in the back and find some partners to team with tonight. Dixie Carter is shown in the back, cutting a promo, talking about how Magnus will get a coronation tonight fit for a king. Later on, she's seen walking away and receiving a letter from one of the backstage attendants saying that this letter was delivered from a carrier. The envelope doesn't have a name, but it just says one message on the inside. See you tonight. After the commercial, Dixie catches up with Rockstar Spud and wants him to find out who sent this letter. Gail Kim and Lady Tapa are shown in the middle of the ring, and the Knockouts champion states that this year was without a doubt the year of Gail Kim. 2014 will be just as dominant as 2013 was. The only thing that she's hoping is that her open challenge will yield better competition. At this, Madison Rayne comes out to compete against her tonight. The match starts off with Rayne hitting a nice cross-body block on the champion and getting a lot of early dominance in. But after a distraction by Gail Kim, Lady Tapa trips up Madison and with some impressive power yanks her out of the ring in one clean shot. Gail Kim takes over, but Madison does manage to get some offense back. Now, one part in this match that was pretty vicious was Madison Rayne being up on Gail Kim's shoulders, and it appeared trying to hit some sort of a victory roll until Gail Kim threw her face down straight into the mat. And that did not look pretty fun. Gail tries to seal the victory with an eat defeat, but Rayne actually manages to counter with a pretty nice side roll. It looked like sort of a slower version of Kofi Kingston's SOS, and she actually managed to pin the Knockouts champion. So you got to think this warrants Madison Rayne to possibly get a title shot in the future.
Hmm.
In a way, I'm kind of glad to have Madison come back because, like I said, the Knockout division is needed of some new blood, even though she's been in the company before and all that.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we know that there's been a whole bunch of Knockouts that have kind of disappeared, and luckily we actually do have a little bit of a segue for the Knockouts because after that match, we see Velvet Sky applying some makeup in the mirror and then seeing Chris Sabin walk in. It looks like Velvet has something on her mind, but Sabin actually cuts her off, kind of showing a nice little side of being a dick. He says that he just wants Velvet to listen tonight, and if she does exactly what he says, then he'll be leaving the building with the X Division title. If she doesn't, then he'll be leaving the building without her.
So we have Sabin's dick and Velvet in the same sentence.
Somewhere Trace cursing.
Oh, yeah. No doubt.
I think somewhere the listeners are cursing because Bronx is giving highlight to Sabin's dick right now.
Yeah, well, I mean, you mentioned Dick and Sabin in the same sentence. Sorry. Continue.
Well, after that, we have Kurt Angle in the back, and he has made a selection for his tag team partner tonight, which turns out to be Gunner. This is pretty interesting as James Storm walks up and is surprised, simply stating, "Partners?" Very interesting. Clearly not happy that Gunner is teaming up with someone else tonight. We go to the ring for our X Division title match as Austin Aries, the champion, comes out to face challenger Chris Sabin. The match opens with Sabin wanting a nice little kiss on the cheek from Velvet, which also results in Austin Aries planting a different kind of kiss on Sabin's cheek with a corner dropkick and almost getting a two count. Now, as the match goes on, there's a nice little spot right here in which Austin Aries gets dropped onto the top rope, and it seems Chris Sabin is setting up for that hesitation dropkick he's known for. However, as he's put in the tree of woe, he manages to get two kicks to the side of Sabin's head and actually manages to arch up and kick off the turnbuckle and hit a very nice bulldog. As the match goes on, Aries is setting up for another corner dropkick, but Sabin has Velvet get up on top of the apron. And while the ref is distracted with her, Saban low blows Aries and lines him up with a small package to win the championship back. So once again, Chris Sabin is the X Division champion. Afterwards, in a short little interview with Borash, Saban says that there's only one person that he can truly thank for this accomplishment, and that's himself. Rockstar Spud is seen in the back working on the speech for tonight when, hilariously, his cell phone goes off, which is actually Dixie Carter's ringtone. Like, we haven't heard that enough. He answers the phone but doesn't get an answer, although he does note that it is with a 678 area code, which I believe is actually somewhere in Georgia. Our next match features one of the gut check winners, Samuel Shaw, who, in my opinion, must have forgotten his wrestling gear because he came out to the ring looking like he was auditioning to become a Ross mannequin. He's introduced by Christy Hemme, who we've seen, I believe it seems that he's been a little smitten with her for the past few weeks, as she introduces his opponent, Nor Fernum, who for many of the whole indie show viewers, or listeners, excuse me, you would also recognize from the California independent scene as Pretty Peter Avalon, a mainstay out here. Pretty much a squash match, to say the least. They had pointed out that there was a lot of methodical offense on the part of Sam Shaw. It seems that with his attire and the black gloves he was wearing, for me, it kind of seemed like maybe they're trying to give him some sort of a Dexter vibe, because it seemed like it was very sort of, you know, methodical and, you know, perhaps with murderous intent. I will say that one of the perhaps highlights slash lowlights of this match would have to be the reactions the camera was cutting to with Christy Hemme. I think there could be quite a few fun memes that could come out of that. Go ahead.
I gotta say, the idea what they're doing with Samuel Shaw is pretty interesting, because heck, they're actually doing something with one of the gut check winners. But what they're doing in a way is like, it's kind of falling on deaf ears by the fans, because I mean, you saw when he put in that finisher, which was, I mean, it's a legit chokehold, but you could see the fans were like, it just sucked the energy out of the arena from that.
Well, I think one of the problems, too, is that the gut check segment itself is so shit on now. You know, it's like you mentioned gut check in TNA, and you're like, oh, God. So he's getting that label. You know, they're getting that gut check label. And being none of the gut check guys have really done shit, now you want to try to push a guy, and you've thrown a monkey on his back by labeling him a gut check, you know, participant. That's probably the biggest problem why the fans are shitting on it.
Yeah, you had some, let's see, when they have Brian Cage, who I've seen in other independent companies, is a beast. And yet he got passed over for Jay Bradley, who honestly, what the hell has he done? And you had Joey Ryan, probably the hottest thing that was coming from Gut Check, and you release him within probably a few months.
Well, I would say not just that, but also the fact that, as we know, Samuel Shaw is somebody from Gut Check. This is the first time we've really seen him, I think, in probably 8 to 9 months, and now we're seeing him again competing in what pretty much looks like, you know, street clothes. So, I mean, I would suppose that added into the fact that it was kind of a short match. You know, obviously the crowd, I suppose, would be a little winded. There wasn't a whole lot to be invested here in this.
Yeah, and the last time we actually saw him, even the vignettes was probably like 2 or 3 weeks prior. So I was like, you do this, then automatically bring him in. I'm like, what? So, but like I said, it's new. I'm at least going to give it a shot, and I'm hopefully he gets a chance to go.
We'll see.
Yeah, I wish him the best of luck, but, you know, we'll see what happens.
Now, in the backstage, the cameras catch up with Cowboy James Storm, who says he's not surprised by Gunner. That much like him, all of his previous partners change. But tonight, he's going to show Kurt Angle why he made a mistake to pick Gunner as a partner. Of course, this also ponders the storm that maybe he did the same. As we come back from commercial, Bobby Roode is seen in the back and talking to someone off camera, asking to give one reason for why he should pick him as a partner tonight. The camera pans back to reveal that he's talking to James Storm. Storm says he's not wild about wanting to team with Bobby Roode again because he flat out hates him, but he wants to team with him tonight to send a message. Roode says he doesn't need Storm and that he never did. But as he tries to leave, Storm stops him, saying that he's going to be out there whether he likes it or not, either to tag with him or to kick everybody's ass, including his. Next up, we have the tag match, Kurt Angle and Gunner versus Bobby Roode and James Storm. Sort of an uneasy beer money realliance, which isn't lost on the fans as they are doing beer money chants throughout the whole thing. The match starts with a nice little bit of offense. Gunner showing off some of his old Mr. Intensity gimmick as he's seen headbutting the turnbuckle quite a few times. We see some pretty uneasy tags between Roode and Storm. As the match goes on, Gunner tries to get the victory by getting Roode up in the gun rack, only to have James Storm super kick him with the last call, and then Roode hits what it appears to be a new finishing move of his, sort of a Death Valley driver neck breaker combination, and gets the 1-2-3. After the match, Kurt Angle tries to hit the Angle slam on Roode, but Roode manages to get away. So obviously a nice little bit of tension building up for their steel cage match coming up at Genesis. After the match, Storm picks up Gunner's briefcase with the world title shot in it and just sets it right on his chest. After this, we have EC3. Sorry, did you want to say something?
I got to say, though, this match was pretty good, and I liked after they did Storm and Roode did the double suplex. You saw the fans were like, oh, please, just do the beer money thing just one time. And but they just gave each other the look like saying, okay, that's it, just go. But this was definitely a good way to set up both feuds that are between all four. But I'm just wondering, are they going to try to make Storm the bad guy here?
That's tough to say. I did kind of think, when they did that suplex, I was expecting to possibly see that same thing. But yeah, they weren't going to have any of that. I'll admit, though, I was curious if maybe they were going that route with Storm. I mean, at the very least, you have him teaming with Roode, but I think if they were going to go that route, they probably would have had more than just Storm setting the case back on top of them.
Yeah, because after Roode left, ran out of the ring, and Angle went to the ropes to try to get him, I thought when he turned around, Storm was going to give him a super kick. But they didn't do that. So I'm thinking they may make currently right now Storm a tweener.
Yeah, I mean, making Storm a heel isn't going to work with the hardcore TNA fans. No way. I mean, I wouldn't want to see that. You're talking about one of the most beloved guys, but if you a tweener, I'd have no problem with. But as far as a full-fledged heel, I don't think they'll. Well, then again, we're talking about TNA, so let me take a deep breath. Who knows?
Now, next we have Ethan Carter III coming out, bragging about how not only is he still undefeated in the TNA, but last week he managed to pin the Icon Sting. And as we all saw after that match, Jeff Hardy stated that he was leaving TNA. However, Ethan Carter, in his infinite caring, decided to tweet Hardy saying that he would offer him some redemption and challenged Hardy to a match that night. However, even though we had Jeff Hardy's music playing, there was no Hardy to show up. So, taking on the role of official at the same time, Carter decided to do the 10 count for Hardy. However, when he reached 9, that was when Sting's music hit and he came down to the ring. Sting launched into a nice little tirade, pretty much calling Ethan Dixie's lapdog, stating that he can't even take a crap without being at the end of her leash. EC3 notices how Sting is continually trying to get in a match with him and decides to walk away. But after lapdog chants continue from the crowd, he says that he will fight Sting. And as he moves closer to the ring, he states, at Genesis. So now we have another match added. Ethan Carter III facing Sting at Genesis. Backstage, Joseph Park is talking with Eric Young, and even after watching the tapes from last week, he still feels that he's not Abyss, despite the fact that we saw many Abyss traits coming out in the hardcore match, in the Monsters Ball match against Bad Influence. But then he also asks Eric Young why he put him in a match with Bully Ray tonight. 2 years ago, Eric Young points out that Abyss fought Bully Ray, and that things should go back to the beginning. After Eric walks off, Bully Ray walks up to Joseph Park and says he shouldn't be the guy that burns for Ken Anderson. Confused, Joseph Park is wondering what he means, and then Bully gets right in his face and says flat out that he's going to set him on fire tonight. We go to the ring with Bully Ray pretty much decked out like the Unabomber with a glasses and a hoodie set up. And then we see Joseph Park coming out in sort of a fighting stance, but despite just standing in the ring, Bully Ray doesn't move a muscle. As Joseph Park gets closer, let's just say whatever lucky fan was about four rows back probably caught Joseph Park's testicles, because Bully Ray plants a stiff, hard freaking kick and gets a low blow to pretty much stop the match, I don't know, 15 seconds before it even starts, before it even gets underway. While Joseph Park is writhing around in pain on the floor, Bully Ray takes out some lighter fluid and flat out coats Joseph Park all over with it. Then he pulled out a lighter, and it seems that he's about to have a little Joseph Park flambe until Ken Anderson comes out. As Anderson hits the ring, Bully Ray starts spraying him with the lighter fluid and daring him to get closer with the lighter in hand, saying that if he takes another step, that he'll send Anderson up in flames also. Using this little detail, Bully Ray manages to leave the ring while Anderson looks over Joseph Park. Now, to end the Impact episode for that night, we have Rockstar Spud and Ethan Carter III in the ring. They both start singing Magnus's praise and introducing Dixie Carter. Pretty much, I think I can spare everybody the banter from this. There wasn't a whole lot. If you want the gist of what Rockstar Spud said, since they're pretty much making him like, you know, the typical stereotypical pompous Englishman, I figure I can give you the rough stereotypical breakdown of what he said. Blah, blah, royalty, blah, blah, king, blah, blah, queen, blah, blah, Benny Hill, blah, blah, tea and crumpets. I think that was pretty much the gist of it. And I think we all know pretty much stuff that Ethan Carter III would say, so let's spare that. And I don't think anybody wants me to repeat everything Dixie Carter was saying.
No, not unless you want me to.
Please, God, no.
Unless you want me to hang up on you. No, please don't.
Well, look, I'll say this. It actually wasn't as bad as we've seen, because it wasn't the audio abortion that we had last week when Dixie was in the ring for 23 friggin' minutes. So, if anything, there's a silver lining right there.
However,
well, amen. But finally, Dixie introduces her champion, the new TNA World Heavyweight Champion, Magnus, to the ring. Magnus states that he had been getting many of the questions as to why he turned his back on the fans. He retaliates, saying that they turned their backs on him. And despite everything, every sort of person who said that he would never be a world champion, that he would be holding on to this belt for a very, 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 don't know how many times he said very, very long time. However, after this, Gunner's music hits, and he walks down to the ring carrying the World Heavyweight title briefcase. After the commercial break, Gunner is in the ring saying that he doesn't know about Magnus, but tonight his history begins, because he is going to cash in his World Heavyweight title shot. Dixie Carter interrupts, saying that that is not going to happen. And after a moment, Gunner is attacked by Spud, Ethan Carter, and Magnus. As Gunner is being held back, Magnus makes to hit Gunner in the head with the world title, only to be snuck upon from behind by the other world heavyweight champion, AJ Styles. As AJ clears the ring, Magnus and AJ have a stare down, both of them holding their belts in the air, trying to state that they were the true world heavyweight champion. AJ says that Dixie screwed the people when she made a farce champion. Magnus looks on slightly enraged as AJ repeats it again. He says that you're not a world champion until you beat the world champion. In the eyes of these people, he'll never truly be a world champion. They'll doubt him, and he'll doubt himself. AJ proposes that there's two belts, there should only be one world heavyweight champion in TNA, and he offers to have a match with Magnus. But the deal's only on the table for right now, because if AJ leaves and walks out of that building, that deal's going with him. Magnus looks at AJ and says, "You're not better than me anymore, and you never will be again." So it seems that Magnus is actually wanting for this match to happen. However, Dixie Carter outside the ring is saying that that's not going to happen. Magnus retorts that if it doesn't, then he's gone too. Dixie points out that AJ doesn't even have a contract, and Magnus says, "You're right, that's not. He doesn't." Which is why Dixie is going to give him a one-night-only contract for this match to happen. Dixie flips out, saying that what happens if you lose, then she'll have nothing. Magnus says that's true. However, he's feeling lucky and he'd like to roll the dice. So Magnus accepts the challenge, and so does AJ. So we will be having a rematch between these two for both belts. We will have one true champion in TNA. And that is how we close out the show.
And it's Randy Orton. All right, now here's the thing. Now, again, I'm going to look. The bottom line is I'm going to be showing my ignorance during this segment a lot because I'm not watching TNA. Last night, was it considered the Destination X pay-per-view?
I think it was a regular show.
Yeah.
So then how could Saban want to cash in?
Saban cashing in? I guess that he never got his rematch from when he lost the title to Austin Aries.
Ah, I see. Because that's what didn't make sense to me at first.
No. There was anything like that. But I'm kind of surprised. I mean, we had Saban. I mean, it's a little interesting. I suppose the most interesting thing is the fact that they've got this whole thing going on with Saban and Velvet. But other than that, we're not really seeing Velvet a whole lot on TV.
When it comes to Velvet, I think they're going to do what they did with Booker T and Charmel, where basically it looks like one of them is reluctant to be involved in the whole cheating thing or unaware. Now, in other words, it's revealed that they actually were in cahoots.
Yeah, and from what I hear, too, I like the fact that they're going to put EC3 against Sting because I think he needs some legit competition, but, you know, you go from wrestling jobbers to wrestling Sting. It's a little too quick.
Yeah, because honestly, who has really Ethan beat? I mean, Curry Man. Ooh.
Yeah, I know, right? It's like, oh, God, he beat Curry Man. You know.
And that shows how limited that TNA's has of high-ranking quality talent roster guys who will probably be willing to go over on to get Ethan over.
Well, now you say some of the top talent in TNA. This did dawn on me earlier. I know he wasn't on there last week. I cannot remember from the week prior, and he wasn't on this past Thursday. Have we seen Samoa Joe in the past few weeks?
The last time I think we saw him was in the backstage segment where he was talking to Jeff. Said, "Are you actually going to take Dixie on her offer?" And then that was it. Maybe he got caught up in that pedal van again, and he's been disappeared. We'll see him again with the penis tattoo.
Yeah, he'll get dumped out of the van on, you know, Impact in 2-3 weeks. I don't know, but you know what? Being L Train is going to be on here every week. We're going to stop with spoilers, so I'm not going to tell you what happens next week, which will air on January 9th. It's been known for a while what happens. AJ and I guess this is kind of a spoiler. He's done with TNA. We know what's going to happen. But I like the way, apparently from what you're saying, they set it up where Magnus kind of turned himself into a tweener by saying, "No, you know what? Yeah, I'll wrestle a motherfucker. I'll wrestle him to try to unify these titles." I do like that, but I know what's going to happen, and Train will tell us exactly what happened next week. For those of you who've read the spoilers, well, you read the spoilers. But it's interesting they would do it that way, you know, try to get Magnus a little bit over.
Well, you know, the vibe that I kind of got from that was as he was talking about that, you know, he wanted to accept this challenge and face AJ. At first, it kind of seemed like, in addition to what we've all said, you know, this is pretty much a copy of the CM Punk John Cena storyline from 2011. It almost seemed like it was a little bit of the current thing going on with Randy Orton kind of being a little bit against the authority also. Although, as you said, it almost seems a little tweenerish considering that he's not being so much the cowardly heel as he is wanting to prove himself.
In my opinion, I think they did a better job of having AJ as the champion going to other companies here and there, which was a good idea. But to just flop in this unification match a week after announcing it, that's not a smart move. But, of course, there's the whole contract dispute between Styles and the company, so I can understand why they're doing it. But still, it's like, you're wasting the opportunity. This could be like a pay-per-view match if you guys actually had a pay-per-view before lockdown or whatever. But it's like I said, it's a wasted opportunity here to get actually probably a little bit of buy rights on a pay-per-view.
Well, I mean, I don't think TNA gives a fuck about buy rates at this point. I mean, from what I read today, and Anthony and I are going to get into this a little bit later on when we talk some news, but, you know, I don't know. It almost seems, you know, I've got a theory about Dixie and TNA that I'm going to bring up a little later on in this news segment. And it just, to me, it clicked with me today that the differences between an owner like Dixie and an owner like Vince McMahon. And I'm not necessarily going to shit on Dixie as an owner, but I think there's a reason why TNA just, it isn't what it should be. And, you know, we'll talk about that later. But as far as Impact, it doesn't sound like it was that terrible. I mean, the whole Bully Ray thing with the lighter fluid, and that's, you know, that's kind of a Kane JR type of thing, and I get where they're going with that. But, you know, I don't know. This pre-recorded shit 10 weeks in a row just kills me.
Yeah, I guess it's kind of hard to really have that good bit of surprise when you know what's been happening a month prior. But
yeah, and it's apparently been revealed that I saw that apparently they're using reused footage of like the same fans for the span of the shows. Like they have it like, here's this one from Las Vegas, then it's like from the next show they have was supposed to be away, it's the same crowd, same people, everything, even using the same exact footage.
Wow, so they're dubbing in old crowd shots.
Yeah, I'm like, oh dear God.
Well, why don't I just try that? Maybe next week, you know, we won't do a show, and I'll just see if I can put one together from like the last 10 getting the zones.
Oh, shit.
We'll know the difference, you know. A Merry Christmas. Well, wait a minute. It's January whatever. Merry Christmas? Yeah, I don't know. That's. It almost seems like TNA is the company on welfare. They're cutting back on even crowd shots and shit like that, reusing crowd shots. That's Bush League. And like I said, I'm not shitting on the show because from what Train says, it sounded semi-interesting. But, you know, we know what's going to happen next week, but we'll save it. If you had to give it a letter grade, Train, what would you give it?
I suppose I would probably give it a C plus, perhaps a C. I mean, it wasn't, you know, flat out dreadful all the way around. There was some good stuff going on in it, but there were quite a few bits that had kind of brought it down. I mean, you know, it wasn't terrible, but there were quite a few things that could have been stepped up. However, at least they are setting some things up for Genesis, hopefully able to make a nice little payoff for that. And even though there are spoilers out as to what we know will happen next week on Impact, hopefully the action in the ring and everything else they have to offer, hopefully it'll be enough that it won't be too much of a damper that people will still be interested in seeing what's going to happen.
And if I had to rate it, which I'm not sure if it really matters, but I would have to give this a C minus. The thing that kept it from getting lower, I think, was the X Division title match. Because that match was pretty good between those two, except for the crummy finisher. But at least that was storyline driven. And the tag match. Everything else was like, ugh.
You know, that is one other thing. And this is also another sad thing. The fact that I haven't really remembered this in a whole long time. It's the fact that when Austin Aries came out with that title, God, I fucking cannot stand that belt. It's going over a point we have said so many times before. It reminds me of a combination of the NXT Championship and the Divas Championship.
Yeah, that or how the Intercontinental belt was before Cody Rhodes brought the original version back.
Oh, I would have even taken that version. I don't know what was wrong with the old version of the X title that they had, but I mean, just geez, it looks too gimmicky. It does.
Maybe it's one of those belts they have where they give it to the fans if they pay enough.
Wow.
What, you think they had to hawk the old belt to get some more cash in?
That, or they had Jeff Hardy draw a new belt for them.
Oh, please.
Oh, God.
No, the last thing we want is another Jeff Hardy title. That's the last thing we want. You know, it's funny how they talk about Jeff Hardy leaving, and I'm thinking, you know, I read this on the internet somewhere, and I can't give credit because I don't remember where the hell I read it, but people are saying, like, they're going to do with Jeff Hardy, because obviously he can't travel overseas. He's still on probation. They're going to do with Jeff Hardy what they wanted to do with AJ had he resigned.
Yeah, because even when Magnus was doing his whole victory speech, whatever, he alluded to Jeff Hardy and all that. So, yeah, most likely Hardy's going to be the next big opponent for him for the belt. Because, no offense, who are they going to put in Magnus's way if he retains the belt? Sting? He's quote-unquote unable to go for the belt.
Well, you know, that is another... sorry, go ahead, Anthony.
Yeah, the only other guys I can think that we can have him go for, like, a main title feud is Angle and Austin Aries. They actually let Aries stay in the main event.
Well, if you really wanted to do some crafty booking, you could. See, the problem is Anderson is so busy with Bully Ray right now, but either of those guys, you know, you could even have Anderson in title contention at some point saying, you know, I want the title. You could have Bully Ray saying, well, look, I lost my group, I lost Aces and Eights, but now I'm going to go for the next best thing, and that's the if they're going to call it Undisputed, I doubt it, the TNA World title. I mean, that's something else you could do. But they've lost so many of, like, the main event. I mean, Angle, maybe, but he's kind of really, you know, tied up with Rude. So it's hard to say who you could throw against Magnus for that title because they've lost a lot of big names. And AJ, it would have been ideal to have them feud for a while, but obviously that's not going to happen.
Or they can just do something real strange to have Nor Fernum go for the belt.
Yeah, or Ethan Carter.
Because face it, him and the other guy, Dewey Barnum, they're basically the Barry Horowitz of this company right now.
Well, wow. You know, Anthony does bring up something that I did that did cross my mind earlier today. I mean, the fact that with AJ gone right now, Hardy gone, you know, what names are there to challenge against Magnus? He stated Sting. Sting has that clause where he can no longer compete for the World Heavyweight title. So, you know, that is something. And there was something I was going to address as far as this whole thing with Dixie and Magnus and Rockstar Spud and Ethan Carter, kind of like, you know, as, you know, a bit of this, you know, the law of TNA. I was going to get into that a little bit as to something that I still view as kind of being wrong with it. However, I'm going to reserve that for next week because with, I believe, next week being the final pre-taped Impact from last year, I want to see how this is going to play out. And I might even wait until Genesis, but I want to see how this is going to be because I want to see if I can pinpoint exactly what I think is still wrong with this whole thing of Dixie being in charge and kind of having this whole faction of people under her being held up by Magnus as the champion. But I want to see what they're going to do first before I pass full judgment on it.
Well, what's wrong with her is that she gets a mic every week.
that's one of them. That is one of them.
You know, yeah, you eliminate and that.
And the whole faction, they can also add probably the bromance because they were involved in that handicap tag clusterfuck last week.
You know, if there's one person that I can pinpoint that I think does a great job in their role as far as the whole being involved with Dixie Carter, I actually would say it's probably Rockstar Spud. Now, I know that that might seem a little odd, but with the role he's given, as I said in the recap, he's the arrogant, pompous British guy. Let's face it, for us over here in America, you just got to love to hate the British in terms of, you know, wrestling. I mean, he gets on your nerves. With his height, he's definitely someone that you want to see get knocked around a little bit because he mouths off so much, and you just can't wait until he gets his comeuppance. So at the very least, it's pretty obvious that he can get the fans riled up and really get under their skin.
Yeah, and that stupid bow tie. Sorry, he's not the 11th Doctor. No offense to the Elite Force podcast, but he does not make bow ties cool.
Well, who does, really?
Yeah, but, you know, you make a great point. Yeah, I mean, the British guys, we saw it with William Regal so many times, even what we should have been seeing with Wade Barrett, you know, what, God, who else? How many, the Bulldogs, you know, everyone in America, and there's nothing against British people. I got British friends, mine wife, I love them to death, and Ashley, but the common wrestling fan, and it's wrestling's fault because that's how they portrayed the British over the years, as the pompous... I personally can't stand Spud, but I think he has more legit heat with me than Dixie does. Dixie, it's just I can't fucking stand her character as a heel, a face, as anything. But him, maybe he gets on my nerves because he's doing his job, and that's the job that British wrestlers have been given throughout the years, at least here in the States. Yeah, the pompous dick. So, who knows? We'll have to see. Maybe you'd be better off getting rid of Dixie and giving him the mic for a while. We'll have to wait and see.
Bronx makes a mention of all his British friends, and he doesn't mention Crelly.
No, Crelly's cool. I didn't bring him up. Oh, man. Well, we'll see, man. I mean, it's like when you get into TNA, see, you got me on the spot here. I mean, I could bring up a lot of British guys that are on the network that I've listened to. But, yeah, no, Crelly's there, definitely, you know. It's just, it's a stereotype, you know. It's like the Samoan comes out to the drums and wears the face paint.
Have the hard heads.
Right, yeah, you know, the Spanish dudes, they have a matador gimmick or the wife beater or shit. You know, the black, yeah, you know, the black dudes, you know, they shit like the Nation of Domination, which I really didn't like, you know, stuff like that. It's just, it's a stereotype that wrestling uses. You know, the Indian guys, Chief J. Strongbow, Tatanka. It's
New Yorkers being part of the Mafia.
Oh, yeah, the New Yorkers are all fucking mafias. The Italians are all mafiosos. Yeah, it's classic wrestling. So, I don't know, man. What are you going to do? Train? Great job, man. Great job. And thank you very much for doing this so Anthony and I don't have to.
Hey, it's no problem, man. I mean, shoot, I ain't got nothing better to do on a Thursday. And, you know, I figure as much shit as TNA gets, and a lot of it warranted. So, you know, I figure it needs at least one form of representation here on the network. And I figure, hey, why don't I jump on that grenade?
Well, better than you than us.
You did a great job, man. I really appreciate it.
Hey, I appreciate the opportunity, bro.
Anytime, man. You've had opportunities before, and you've always hit it out of the park, and you did it again tonight, man, so I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, man. Take care, and we will take our first commercial break. Yeah, the TNA recap's back, baby. We're going to take our first commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about the events of SmackDown last night. And then we're going to read some news and give our opinions on that. I've got a few things I really want to talk about with Anthony. So we'll get to that after the break. We'll be right back. The new year, 2014. We'll be back with Get in the Zone right here on the SNS Radio Network. Hey, everybody. Have you ever wondered how you can be even more interactive with the SNS Radio Network? Well, just like the WWE, TNA, and everyone else on the planet, we're on Twitter. You can check out the entire network at SNS Radio Network. If you want to hit us up on Unplugged, at SNS Unplugged. You can check out the whole indie show at TWIS_podcast, the Elite Force podcast at EF_podcast. You can check out my show at SNS Get in the Zone. And if you want to contact us individually, you can check out our personal Twitter accounts. I'm at Bronx Father. You can talk some wrestling with Mr. Money on the Mic, Jeff Jackson, at SNS_JJSexA1. You can swim in the waters with Mark the Shark DiCarlo at S_Tapley, TAPLEY. If you want to challenge the Rasputin of sci-fi and gaming, and politics, check out MindWipe at MindWipe. You can follow William Walkie Walker at WalkerViews. And if you want to talk some old school wrestling, you can hit up Sean Beckerman of Beyond the Bell at Sean Beckerman at SeanBeckerman. So don't be shy. Check us out on Twitter and be interactive right here on the SNS Radio Network. Ugh, stupid bird! Everybody, the Bronx Father here. If you can't get enough of wrestling talk, conspiracy talk, and outright craziness, then you need to listen to Unplugged with myself and Jeff Jackson every Tuesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Mountain. Check it out, or you might just miss moments like this. I'm tired alone.
Wisdom takes a seat at the table with us when we meet, but also we leave an unburied slight edge of the hatchet that we've carried over the years. And other gutless and heartless God-fearing men urge us to lay rest forever. Face it, neither one of us were ever any good at
Stop it, Harmony. Stop it. Stop it. You're fucking me up. I'm trying to do this. Stop it. Go out of here. Go. Go. Leave the studio. Leave the studio. It's not my kids. It's my wife. Come on. All right. Let's try this again.
Oh my God.
And impersonating the warrior, take two. All right. Cool.
Face it. Neither one of us were any good at being bored or boring others. So coming prepared to kill one another makes an interesting backup plan. Should I lie on the lawn and get run over by the lawnmowers?
Oh my God. Her laughing in the background sold it. I'm dead.
I'm dead too. Anyway, did I tell you guys how much I love the Warriors?
Anyway, I think we can both agree that we're warrior Mark. So if you don't like it, fuck you.
And now back to Get In The Zone with the Bronx Father on the SNS Radio Network.
Okay, everybody, welcome back to Get In The Zone right here on the SNS Radio Network, the first Get In The Zone of 2014. I am the Bronx Father, Tony Mirabella, and as always, my co-host in training is here with me, Anthony Farley. What's up, man?
Pretty good so far. I mean, we had fun with that conversation with L-Train, so let's see if we can keep it going.
Yeah, let's get right into it. Let's go to what happened last night on a Friday Night SmackDown. Interesting SmackDown. It wasn't as interesting as Raw. I want to talk about the end of Raw a little bit too, because the Facebook segment that we've debuted, it happened on Facebook. I'm going to do that a little differently tonight. I'm going to bring up the one topic on Facebook that went freaking nuts this week, and it involved the end of Raw. And of course, last night on SmackDown, they recapped the end of Raw several times for your viewing pleasure. So let's get right into it from our nation's capital, Washington, D.C. Here's what went down on SmackDown.
Yeah. Y'all know what it is. Sometimes you gotta push through all your obstacles, you know what I mean? No matter what the options are, there is no losing.
lose, there is no fail. Let's go.
The sky turns black, it don't matter, we know.
And now it's time for the SmackDown Breakdown, where I
layeth the smacketh down on your candy ass.
Only on Get In The Zone.
All right, so we start off with Dean Ambrose on the microphone, which is always a good idea. And he says that the universe and the locker room say the Shield is crumbling. Now, some egos have gotten out of control, but the universe and CM Punk are both wrong. And CM Punk will not divide and conquer the Shield. The Shield cannot be divided. Roman Reigns chimes in and says to divide a great team, you have to attack its weakest link. But there is no weak link in the Shield. Rollins says all these setbacks are temporary and the Shield will prevail. We'll come together and dominate and believe in the Shield. Now, Dean Ambrose goes down onto commentary, which is something that we're really used to seeing now. And it's Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns versus the Usos. And this is for...
It's just a regular tag match. And I gotta say... The Usos, I gotta admit, the matches between them and the Shield have been underrated, I think, from people's standpoints. Because although I know the competition's not that hard, the match they had at Money in the Bank, that was the pre-show, that's the best one they had all year. And I'm hoping that the Usos do get a run as a tag champs sometime in 2014. And when it comes to Dean Ambrose, I've been hearing by a bunch of people saying that he's great in the mic. He's great. I mean, you have to hear him on the mic. That's like his selling point. I think this past SmackDown was the show that really showed it. It's like, dude, this guy can talk in the mic and he can go in the ring.
Well, I mean, during the match, the whole story of this match is the commentary. Because during the match, Cole talks about all the problems the Shield has had. And Ambrose says he's tired of hearing that the Shield isn't on the same page. But Cole just keeps going. He talks about how Seth Rollins says there are setbacks in the Shield. And this was funny, how Ambrose talks about defending this title all over the place. I don't know when that's been. But during the match, Rollins is dumped over the top as the Usos take control. And again, Cole talks about an article asking if the U.S. and IC titles should be unified. And Ambrose says he doesn't want to carry around two belts. But Big E knows that sometimes you throw up a lucky shot. And we go back to the match, and we get Let's Go Usos, Let's Go Shield chants. And Ambrose gets off commentary, interferes in the match, and trips both of the Usos, and the ref ends it. So the Usos get a DQ win. But the Shield starts to beat down the Uso brothers, and CM Punk comes in for the save as the Shield retreats. And then Vicky Guerrero comes out and makes our main event for the evening, which will be the Usos and CM Punk versus all three members of the Shield. So I found that kind of interesting how they did that. That was the first part of dissension tonight.
Actually, they had during the whole promo in the beginning, you saw that occasionally gave looks at each other, like the weakest link, and like Ambrose right. and Reigns just gave looks at each other. And also have with Rollins. So I just got to say, they're subtly, I mean, showing that the dissension. They're not going like, oh, everything's fine, down, bam, it happens. They're slowly building up to it. So I'm saying something will probably happen at the Rumble. And as for the whole unification thing they mentioned in the commentary, I would not be against that. But I'm kind of hoping they do that, let's say, at WrestleMania. Make it importance of those two belts at the granddaddy of them all.
Yeah, if you're going to merge the titles, definitely you should do it at Mania. But I mean, I don't know. But definitely, the seeds for the Shield breaking up have been planted.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, they had a hell of a run in the company. Better than most factions have done in wrestling lately.
Yeah, so, I don't think it kills them to break them up, you know, at this point.
Yeah, I remember when originally there were thoughts of this breaking up, and they said, oh, probably the guy that's going to be the one we're going to forget about mostly is going to be Rollins. But after the match he had against Cena last week on SmackDown and the match he had just on Raw against Punk, that just shows you he can go, because I remember seeing his matches in ROH, and they're terrific. And I'm just saying, give these guys a shot. And there's also that rumor saying that, oh, they're going to have Reigns become a face, and he's going to break up from the Shield, and they're going to bring in Mason Ryan back from the into the main roster. I'm like, no, do not do that.
No, I can't see that.
That's like when they did with the whole take out Ole Anderson of the original Four Horsemen and bring in Lex Luger. It worked, fortunately, but you know it didn't click completely like it used to with the original group.
Right. Yeah. The Shield is these three guys. If you're going to break it up, just end the group, you know?
Yeah, don't can't even bring a fourth member now. Sorry, no. It's been too long. They cannot bring a fourth member.
No, it doesn't work. I agree. But we'll see. I mean, it's going to happen probably before Mania. But I think Roman Reigns is going to be a breakout star. I think all three of them could be breakout stars, no problem. I mean, they have a lot of talent in the Shield. My favorite faction, I would dare to say, and a lot of people are going to shit all over this, they're my favorite faction since the NWO.
Are you talking about the original version or before they had like 20 members?
The original version.
Yeah, after they brought in Six and Ted DiBiase, they started adding too many people. And that's like a whole different discussion.
That's a discussion for another day. Getting back to SmackDown. Fandango versus R-Truth with Xavier Woods on commentary. Not like Xavier, but on commentary, I don't know. We're being told on commentary that Brodus is still claiming that Xavier stole his music. And Xavier talks about being the first legit PhD in wrestling once he gets it. And he talks about how he and Truth have dancing in common. I didn't care for this too much. Finally, Xavier stands up and calls out the Funkadactyls, who come out to Brodus Clay's music. Woods dances on the announce table, and that creates just enough of a distraction for Fandango for R-Truth to get the win. And everybody, the Funkadactyls, R-Truth, and Woods dance to Call Your Mama.
Yeah,
that's his gimmick.
I'm upset they did this because they had the match that Fandango had against Big E for the IC belt on Raw last week or the week prior. Was a great match established. Heck, Fandango can go if they actually give him a shot, but then they do this to him. They could have put somebody else against R-Truth. Because I think this was just a way to have this continue the whole thing with Brodus Clay, which apparently on Superstars or the main event, whatever, that he revealed a new look and a new intro, which unfortunately they did not show because it was the holidays. And establish a little bit more story with Xavier Woods, which, like you, I agree, he has talent potential, and he's okay on the mic, but not great.
Yeah, we'll have to see where he goes. I mean, it's okay with him and R-Truth for now. He's got this, you know, the gimmick looks like it's going to be his now. I think it's them willing to admit they made a mistake with Brodus, but, you know, I don't know. I saw screen caps of Brodus's new gimmick, but I haven't seen any video of it yet.
Yeah, I just saw it was like during the Miz TV segment. He's all saying, oh, do you have video proof that I gave it okay for Woods to use my girls and my music and all that? Show it, and that'll be all right. And there was nothing. And then he complained, he trash talked some Tenzai, said, oh, like Tenzai had like 19 shots in this company, and he was a big guy in the past. I let him go on my coattails, and it led to a fight between them. And Clay leaves, and Miz just goes ahead. Oh, it looks like Tenzin knocked the funk out of you. I'm like, oh, my God. Miz is a whole different story right there.
Oh, Miz is, again, a whole other show we could get on about the Miz.
Oh, hell yeah. And we're not like the Power. We do not bash him just because of the hell of it. Cause, no offense. I don't watch the Real World that much anymore or anything like that. But out of everybody that's been on that show, him and the one girl that's on doing movies, the only real recognized guys or most celeb personalities that from that show, they're not doing these real world challenges.
Right. I've never watched it, so I really don't care. We have a tag team title match, the Wyatt family versus the Rhodes. And Harper and Rowan out alone. There's no Bray Wyatt. There's just an empty rocking chair at ringside. And on the commentary, we hear, according to Brie Bella, Daniel Bryan is okay, but that's all she knows. JBL and Cole speculate on Daniel Bryan, what's going on with him. Meanwhile, in the ring, the Wyatts get Goldust isolated, which is what the gimmick Goldust has been playing for a while now, and it works. But Cody finally gets a tag in. Cody gets the upper hand for a little bit, and a disaster kick catches Rowan. Cody off the top rope, outside, onto Harper. Harper drives Cody into the barricade, and then Cody Rhodes gets punished for a while. Rowan pancakes Cody for a two count. The Wyatts are dominating Cody Rhodes yet again. He was getting his ass kicked a lot of this match, and he really needs a tag. Rowan stops the tag, but Goldust saves a near pin as Cody Rhodes eats a big boot. But then Cody gets a great moonsault on Harper. Goldust makes a blind tag, which Rowan does not see. And he ends up getting the pin on Rowan, and the Rhodes family retains their tag team titles. Good match. I like Harper and Rowan. I also like the fact that they just showed. I loved WWE did something dramatically very good last night. I loved the camera shot of the ring between, like, the spokes of the freaking rocking chair.
Oh, yeah, that was definitely a good scene. And I'm also glad they did not have the tag title change here, not because it's on tape and it'll be revealed on spoilers. Because, no offense, it's been – I'm leading to the fact that the Wyatt family are likely going to be the ones to beat the Rhodes for the belts. But do it at the pay-per-view or do it on a – maybe even at old school Raw.
Yeah, I'd agree. Yeah, definitely. I wouldn't do that on SmackDown. But, you know, it was a good match. And we'll have more on the Wyatts towards the end of SmackDown.
Yeah, in my opinion, Goldust, he has comeback of the year of 2013.
Oh, fuck yeah. Definitely comeback.
Yeah, he's like, holy crap. He's done. This run has been better than the last few he's tried to do in the past. He hasn't been this good, I think, since his original run in WWE when he came in as the real bizarre what the hell character, Goldust.
Yeah, he's the fountain of youth. I mean, he's really, he looks great for his age, and I mean, just amazing. This will probably be his last run, and maybe he'll be in the Hall of Fame, but for now, you know, I'm wondering if they'll do a breakup with the two of them, or he'll just fade out. I mean, I'm not sure.
Yeah, I remember they made the whole idea of saying that he's decided, yeah, my run's done, I'm going to hang up my boots, but I'm going to have one more match at WrestleMania, and I want it against my brother, and basically just have them have that one match.
Yeah. No,
they've been wanting to have that for years. Those two at Mania, they even said it.
Yeah, and it might happen. We'll have to see, because I think that the Wyatts are in line to win those belts, but by hook or by crook, and we've heard about it. It's not going to be the Shield right now because they're talking about breaking them up. So the Wyatts are your next best option. But Big E is interviewed backstage. And he says, on Raw, Mark Henry wasn't ready for a brawl against Brock Lesnar. He's hurt, but he's going to be okay. Now, Curtis Axel, who is Big E's opponent tonight, laughs at Big E Langston backstage and says, well, I'm not laughing about Mark Henry. No, really, I am. And I'll be laughing when I beat you tonight, Big E. And Big E finally says, after our match, Curtis Axel won't be laughing at all. And he won't be because Oksana versus Nikki Bella. Nikki gets the win. Moving on. A Randy Orton history video package is shown up to the point where he wins the Undisputed title. I thought that was pretty well done. But now we move on to this match, Big E Langston versus Curtis Axel. So during this match, Michael Cole informs us that Curtis Axel is the grandfather of Larry the Axe Henning.
Huh?
And the fuck? So apparently WWE is creating time paradoxes, but let's talk about this match after I finish up the results right here. Axel gets in some offense, but Big E makes a comeback with a belly-to-belly and a big splash. And, of course, Big E wins with the big ending, taking Curtis Axel way out of the Intercontinental title contendership.
Yeah, but I got to admit, it was a non-title match, but they made the match actually somewhat important because Cole said if this is a chance for Axel to get back in the title picture, only for JBL to say moments later the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Even I'm like, what? Even Taz was going like, what the hell? What's wrong with you?
I don't understand on a pre-recorded show why you couldn't fix that.
Yeah. And it just shows like, heck, they're at least doing somewhat importance with the Intercontinental title now, which I am glad for. It wasn't, like I said, non-title match. It was still they're giving the chance for the IC champion to show himself. I mean, Ambrose is the U.S. champion, but he has the whole Shield thing to really get himself noticed. That's why I'm saying if they do the unification, I think Big E's more needing of the of this rub than Ambrose.
Well, see, I kind of feel bad because I think if they do unify those titles, the U.S. title is going to be the one to go. And in a way, it's a shame because I really love it. It's weird. I'm a mark for the way that belt looks. I just love that belt. And it's a shame that it's going to be going. But, I mean, no discredit to Dean Ambrose. He's doing exactly what he's told. But he hasn't defended that belt. I mean, it's really meaningless at this point. So I think they wouldn't have hinted on commentary to a unification if they weren't planning on doing it.
And this is like the second or third time they have been mentioning this. So I'm saying don't do this at the limit, wherever the February pay-per-view is going to be, which is going to be Elimination Chamber. How they're going to do that, I'm not sure. But do it at Mania.
Because, yeah, I agree.
Yeah, because that's where they need to do it. People say, oh, they shouldn't have done the world title unification there. Like, no, it was good where it was. They can do something like for the two secondary belts at WrestleMania.
Right, yeah. I have no problem with that. I agree. I think you do it at Mania, and, I mean, it's going to be the IC belt that's going to survive. I don't see that the IC belt being absorbed into the U.S. title, but
yeah, they always can do that whole underline, like, whoever wins the unification match, their title will remain. The other one will be faded away. Like they did when the whole leading to the end of the invasion angle where it was Edge versus Taz, and they both had the two companies' belts. And said basically whoever wins the invasion angle, that title, their company's title will remain.
Right. Yeah, that's probably what they're going to do. Let's see. We have, in case you didn't know, this Monday night's going to be Old School Raw coming up. And we have a Brock Lesnar segment where Michael Cole talks with Paul Heyman. And he asks Paul Heyman, why did Brock decide to come back now? And Heyman says, well, it's because there's only one champion now. And Brock said that being the undisputed champion is his position in life. And whoever comes out of the Rumble, whether it's John Cena or Randy Orton, will have to deal with Brock. And Brock will be on Old School Raw, and he's looking to do something special on Old School Raw. Now, what that's going to be, I don't know, but it looks like officially advertised last night on SmackDown, Brock will be on Old School Raw Monday.
Yeah, and I kind of find it funny that Lesnar wants to be the Undisputed Champion again, which in a way is he's the one that ended the original version of the Undisputed title. Remember, he beat The Rock for the belt. And then he was supposed to defend it on Raw and SmackDown, but he said, no, I'm only going to defend it on SmackDown. So it became now the WWE title, and they brought back the world title.
Right.
So it's like, eh.
Well, I mean, my thing is, what's strange, is this could possibly put him at odds with Randy Orton, because I'm praying to God Orton retains at the Rumble.
Same here.
You know, I don't want to see fucking Brock. See, but the thing that's interesting about this, and here's where I think they're going, and here's a little theory I'm just going to throw out there. Brock is coming out talking shit about how he wants to, you know, be the undisputed champion, but what Brock seems to not remember is whoever wins the Royal Rumble is the number one contender. So unless Brock's in the Rumble and wins it, where does he have a right to claim to be the number one contender?
That's true. And I'm thinking, yeah, how Old School Raw is going to be announced that Lesnar is like the first entrant into the Royal Rumble. And let's say he goes in, he dominates, let's say, late into the match. But out of nowhere, something causes him to be eliminated, and then he attacks that person. Right. Or it's been, like I said, the rumor of Lesnar versus Undertaker, which I'm hearing that might not happen now. Let's say he's dominating people, and I don't know where the gong goes off.
Right.
And yeah. then it just distracts him long enough for Lesnar to be eliminated and sets up that match.
Yeah.
But I got a whole opinion about who probably Undertaker should face at WrestleMania. But that'll be later.
Okay. Now we have, I'm going to condense this real quick. Bad News Barrett comes out and tells us how we're not going to keep any of our New Year's resolutions. We'll be just as fat, unhealthy, and unproductive as we are now. Next year, Happy New Year. I just don't know. Is this guy going to wrestle again? Or is this it?
I think it's going to be like this for a while. Then he's going to get in a confrontation with somebody and then have they fight.
Yeah.
I mean, it'd be kind of funny if he's doing this out of nowhere, then Christian returns and actually starts something with Barrett.
Right.
But yeah. There's no word yet when Christian's going to return, if he does.
Yeah, we don't know. I mean, I don't know. I feel so bad for Barrett. It's just not working for me. The fans don't give a shit. You know, what is it? Consortium? Can I have a consortium? Whatever the fuck.
Contorum? In other words, can you shut the hell up and let me do this stupid gimmick?
Right. Can you shut up so I can end it as quickly as possible? That's basically it. But now we move on to our main event, The Shield versus The Usos and CM Punk. And Punk starts off against Dean Ambrose. And Punk is talking mad shit to Dean Ambrose during this exchange. And Rollins is tagged in, and now he's up against Punk. As the match progresses, Punk tries the elbow off the top, but he gets knocked off the top rope by Rollins. Rollins to the top. Then Rollins hits a crossbody, and CM Punk counters with the Anaconda Vice. Ambrose makes the save, and CM Punk is in trouble at this point because the Usos have been taken out of the matchup by the Shield, and Punk is basically on his own. Dean Ambrose gets a two count on CM Punk, and Roman Reigns wants Dean Ambrose to tag in, but Ambrose is kind of ignoring Reigns. He just won't take that tag. The Usos end up taking out Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins, which leaves CM Punk alone with Dean Ambrose, and CM Punk beats Dean Ambrose with a go to sleep. So Dean Ambrose's ego gets the better of him in this match. He won't make the tag, and as a result, the Shield gets yet another loss, further signifying that CM Punk has their number. And that's how we end our main event, with more dissension amongst the Shield, which is exactly the way you'd expect that main event to end.
Yeah, definitely. And again, this was another good match. They had this previously on Raw. And I agree with the question you guys put on Unplug. If Punk's able to beat the Shield by himself, why have it the next night and basically be teamed up with the Usos? And out of that match, I think this was the better one.
Yeah, it was a good match. Overall, SmackDown was great, but doesn't end there. We get a Wyatt interruption, and Bray says that the earth is rotting beneath your feet. The human race is a bacteria, and he needed me. Faith works in strange ways, and he was lost. She lurks in the shadows, and she always gets her way. And now, he is home. He only hears my truth. Now, he has a home. Now, obviously, he's talking about Daniel Bryan, which was a real spooky way to end SmackDown, but a great way to explain why Bray Wyatt wasn't there, because apparently, Bray Wyatt's in the middle of brainwashing the hell out of Daniel Bryan.
Yes, and it's been shown on the Facebook group that apparently Daniel Bryan's debuted his new Wyatt family look. It's basically like almost like Rowan's look, but it's a blue overalls kind of thing. It's in blue.
Wow.
So in other words, we're going to be talking about how it Raw ended and how that's probably going to set up stuff with the riots and Brian, but that'll be later.
Well, no, you know what? That's going to be now. Fuck it. Before we move on to the news, fuck it. Let's talk about that, because what happened last night kind of reverse leads back into Raw, which reverse kind of leads back into our segment where we talk about posts on Facebook. And what I'm going to do this week is talk about one post where I had posted that I love the end of Raw, and it just went crazy with some people loving the end of Raw, some people, some hosts on the network not liking the end of Raw. JJ didn't care for the end of Raw. Some people are saying that this kind of kills Daniel Bryan's push. Now, I don't necessarily agree with that because, and just hear me out, and I want you to respond. You have to look at what Daniel Bryan has been through in the past couple of months. He's gotten fucked over on every turn. Every time he thought he had the world WWE title, he didn't. He got fucked out of the title. The authority's been screwing him over. Everyone has just, anyone with any power in that company has been completely against him. He's never been given a chance. And he finally snapped like a fucking twig under the pressure, like most normal men would do. And he's figuratively joined a cult. Now, depending where it goes, if it goes somewhere shitty and it's a deep push for Brian, I'll agree with everyone who hates it. But if it goes where I think it's going to go, where at the end of the day, Brian is going to end up being better off for it, we'll have to wait and see. What do you think?
I'm thinking, I agree, it was a good way to end Raw, and that it could set up something for him. Like, the whole idea of saying that it could be like, I couldn't beat my enemy, basically how I was doing it. If I know how they think by becoming them, maybe I'll know how to actually kill the monster. And I'm thinking at the Royal Rumble, everyone's been speculating, Brian's going to be the one going to win the Rumble. I'm saying him and, let's say, Bray Wyatt's like the last two members. And Wyatt's like, ah, my child, you're going to just go over and let me win. But then Brian's like, no. And then he eliminates him. So then, let's say at the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view, they can have that finally that one-on-one match, Brian versus Wyatt.
Well, and then, go on, man. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you can just have it where those two face at the, let's say, the February pay-per-view. At least then it gives, let's say, then Authority, a.k.a. and also Orton can say, like, they're asking the family, take out Brian.
Well, see, my way of thinking is almost like, see, here's the scenario. The two scenarios that are being pimped out by the IWC like crazy is, one, Brian wins the Royal Rumble and goes on to fight either Orton or Cena, hopefully Orton, or it's going to be Brian against Shawn Michaels. And I had posted a scenario on Facebook where I said, what if Bray Wyatt tells Daniel the only way you can ever truly be at peace, the only way you can ever truly be in the family, is you have to get rid of all the demons from your past. And who would be one of the biggest demons in his past? Shawn Michaels. Maybe Shawn Michaels comes back to Raw sometime after the Rumble. Now, what you do with Daniel Bryan during the Rumble, I don't know. I haven't booked that yet. But you have Shawn say, you know, what's wrong with you? Look, I know I did you wrong, okay? Yeah, I know I screwed you over, but I mean, for this? And we all know Shawn is a religious guy, and these guys are the exact opposite. They're a dark cult. You're going to join these guys, you know, regardless of what I'll admit I was wrong, Daniel. But this isn't you. Joining these guys, this isn't what I wanted to see happen to you. And if me screwing you over led to this, then I'm sorry. I apologize. And blah, blah, blah. Daniel Bryan wants to hear none of it. It sets up a match. Maybe Bryan attacks Michaels again, thereby turning Michaels into the babyface. You have Daniel Bryan versus Shawn Michaels at Mania. Daniel Bryan wins. Shawn Michaels says, look, you just proved that you're better than these guys. You were able to beat your teacher, the guy who trained you. Shake my hand. Give me a hug. Shakes Shawn Michaels' hand finally after a lot of tension. gives him a hug. They raise their hands. Bray comes in the ring. The rest of the Wyatts come in the ring. What the fuck are you doing? You know, you're ours. You belong to us. Bang. Super kick to Rowan. Maybe a knee to the face to Harper. And then both Shawn Michaels and Daniel Bryan beat the shit out of Bray. And that probably leads up until the next major pay-per-view into a Bray Wyatt, Daniel Bryan feud.
Yeah, or they can have it where it's teasing that possibly they're going to be okay, Bryan and HBK, then the Wyatt family attack him. And Bryan's not really getting involved until finally he just says screw it and attacks the family. But here's another thing. It's been originally rumored that Undertaker wants to face Bryan at WrestleMania.
See, now, I don't see... I mean, usually what Taker wants, Taker gets. But I just don't...
Yeah, I'm not 100% for, but I'm not against it either. I mean, there's been room... I mean, they wanted to originally do Lesnar versus Taker, but can they really do a match... Something like how they did Hell in a Cell in their previous matches. With Undertaker in the shape he is? I'm not 100% sure about that. I mean, there's been a rumor of him, Undertaker versus Sheamus.
Well,
which I would not be completely against.
Yeah, but when is Sheamus coming back? I mean, I know he's still a little bit banged up. He's pretty much healed from what I understand.
I won't be surprised if he's a surprise entrant in the Rumble.
Yeah, that'd be a good way to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, then and they want to make him heel, because he can work heel. And let's say he wants to challenge Undertaker.
Yeah,
there was also that faint rumor of having Bray Wyatt versus Undertaker, which I'm like, no.
Not yet.
Too soon.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah, way too soon.
Yeah, especially in WrestleMania.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree. I don't think that's going to happen. But, I mean, well, here's the deal, though. If you're going to have Daniel Bryan versus Taker at WrestleMania, and you stick with Bryan being in with the Wyatts, that's going to make the Wyatt family butt heads with Undertaker, which I will admit captivates me to a certain extent. Because the Undertaker has his babyface dark powers, but Bray Wyatt has his heel dark powers. So it could be an interesting dynamic. That could be, and I just thought of this, why Daniel Bryan did join the Wyatts to put in the setup for Taker.
That's true. Why not just bring also back Papa Shango so it could be like a three-way war to get control of Daniel Bryan?
No.
That's and this is good. Around this time, they're making us speculate what they can do up to WrestleMania, which I am grateful.
Yeah, I mean, SmackDown for what it was, I'll give it, the commentary killed it a little bit for me, and I'll give it an A-. Wasn't a bad show, wasn't their greatest show, but it was pretty good. It advanced storylines. I like the fact that Bray wasn't there, where they're selling the fact that he's kind of in the middle of, you know, putting the sugar on the cake of Daniel Bryan. He's with him, he's fucking with him, getting him totally brainwashed. So the ending did what it needed to do. I liked it.
Yeah, I'll give it a borderline A-, B+. Because like I said, the commentary did hurt it. And the opening match, the main event, and the tag title match was great matches and all that. And it showed that even though they didn't have their leader, Harper and Rowan can go in the ring and handle themselves.
Yeah, great point. Great point, bro. It really showed that, you know, these guys are a legit threat, whether Bray's there or not.
True. So, and here's the thing. A good SmackDown, watchable, enjoyable. No Cena, no Orton. Basically, it was no real recognized guys that were from like 2 years ago or so, except for what? CM Punk?
Well, I mean, this whole theory, I mean, again, we talk about, this is the third time tonight we've said another story for another fucking day. You know, this whole thing that they can't draw a good rating or have a good show without Cena and Orton, that's bullshit because I thoroughly was entertained by Raw this week, and I was thoroughly entertained by SmackDown. And what did they have in common? Cena and Orton were nowhere to be found.
Yeah, I mean, Raw we find out because they had a house show at the same time. They couldn't release them. And this one, I think this No, let's just have them not be on SmackDown. And I think that was a good move. I mean, oh, what do you mean they don't have the title match being promoted and all that? They had a promotion for it. With right. a whole promo with Orton.
Oh, and that was brilliantly done. The production on that, well, I mean, look, it's WWE. One, no matter, even when WWE storyline-wise is at its worst, which it's been pretty damn good for the last few weeks, you can't doubt. When it comes to production, they're just beautiful. And that whole Randy Orton thing was just something that reminded you he's still the champ. He might not be here tonight, but don't you forget it.
Yeah, agreed. And like I said, I'm with you. I'm not one of those people who are completely against Cena, but I agree. Do not let him have the belt. I mean, if you want to give him another run for the belt, don't do it like anytime soon. Like, give him a year. They did that one time. It worked.
Oh, yeah. And, definitely.
Yeah. If they don't do that, do what they did with, like, somewhat Brian, where they have him against somebody who's, like, up and coming, like, one of the guys that want to help elevate more. Because, right. Oh, that's it. Oh, they just basically shat on what they did with Brian as he is now. No, because Brian was popular as hell before this whole thing. But then when he started doing the stuff with Orton and Cena, it got him way popular.
Yeah, and it's going to be interesting, you know, to talk to other hosts on the network. I mean, see what they think. And again, it's a really heated topic. A lot of people like what they did with Brian. A lot of people are hating on it. A lot of people are indifferent. We'll have to wait and see. But you know what, man? We're going to start closing things up as I'm losing my voice. But it's been, you know, let's close up with a couple of news stories, recent news stories. I don't have any emails yet. So, guys, you know, if you want to send emails, SNS, getinthezone@gmail.com. But for right now, because we have none, I've got three news stories. Two of them are TNA. And one of them is WWE, obviously. The WWE one will get out of the way right now. Another top WWE name may be possibly returning for the Royal Rumble, and this has been reported on PW Insider. Rob Van Dam has been announced as wrestling for Booker T's Reality of Wrestling promotion in Houston, Texas, on January 11th at the Clear Lake Sports and Recreation Center. Van Dam will also be doing a VIP meet and greet at the event. So he's still in the good graces of WWE. Will he be in the Rumble? We'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, but you got to remember, I think RVD has that deal where does like 90 days, then he takes a little sabbatical, then right. He comes back and does like another 90 days and sabbatical, which I'm like, this keeps him from doing anything real long term with the company. Basically, he's just going to be one of those guys, I think he's going to go in the have good matches and all that and get fans into the show. That's it.
Right. And having him as a Rumble entrant, I mean, that's no problem. You got 30 slots. I mean, you can throw him in there. He's definitely entertaining in the Rumble.
And they had one time where he appeared just for that one Rumble appearance, and that was it.
Right. I mean, he's doing the whole kind of Legends deal type thing, and RVD's been around for a long time. I could see him wanting to wrap it up, maybe in, you know, WWE Hall of Fame at some point. But, you know, I have no problem with that. The next story I have is not really a story. It was a Twitter interaction. Someone who I will not give away their Twitter name on the show had posted a tweet saying at TNA Dixie, now that at Jake Snake DDT and at Scott Hall NWO are in healthier places, I say they would be a brilliant addition for your creative team. To which Scott Hall tweeted back, no interest on my part, but thanks for the kind words.
Good God. And apparently there's a power struggle or something like that in TNA with Dixie, and there's like a vice president. And that's one of the reasons why the whole AJ situation went out like it did.
Yeah, I don't know. I heard rumors about that, but I don't know. I mean, what really got me tonight, and we're going to close with this news story. But before I read this story, we just have to, man. It warrants this, so just bear with me.
Yeah.
So apparently, TNA Impact is not scheduled to return to Universal Studios. Once again, PW Insider is reporting that TNA will not be taping Impact Wrestling at Universal Studios Orlando anytime soon. According to multiple sources, TNA will not be returning to any of Universal's sound stages as they were unable to secure any dates for 2014 due to the sound stages being booked out for other productions. TNA returned to Universal to tape a number of Impact Wrestling episodes at the end of last year, and at the time, TNA's press release presented Universal as being the quote-unquote hub of their Impact 365 social media campaign and noted that the company would have a training center in the market as well. The Impact episodes taped at Universal Studios will conclude with this Thursday's edition of Impact. TNA will tape several episodes later this month in Huntsville, Alabama, including a live Genesis-themed episode before heading to Europe at the end of the month for their annual tour, where they will tape a number of episodes as well. From there, it appears Impact will be back on the road unless the company is able to find a new regular home for the tapings, because as of now, Universal Studios will not be their home base. Wow.
Have the, like, failure for Price is Right in there.
Oh, I think the background circus music serves well, because it's just a fucking circus. It's...
Yeah, it sounds like they're going to do, like, another, like, almost 10 shows in storage back-to-back. But in a way, they have no choice.
Well, I mean, why the hell would you go back to Universal without having some type of long-term deal? It'd be like me renting a month-to-month apartment and 2 months afterwards my landlord saying, oh, well, sorry, someone else is going to move in. But what the fuck? I got all my shit here.
Again, you wonder why we have issues now with TNA, how it's gone. I guess I remember I had an issue with Corelli about this. TNA has the talent, no question. But just the backstage stuff is hurting it tremendously.
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, this isn't even backstage stuff. I mean, my thing is, you left Universal. I mean, here's the thing. At some point, you need to make up your mind. You know, you go to McDonald's, you stare at the dollar menu. Do I want a double cheeseburger? Do I want a fish sandwich? Do I want a fucking McRib? You got to make a choice. First, you went on the road, didn't work out. You went back to Orlando. Now that's not working out. You're going to Europe, which is, I think, where they should make their home base because everyone in Europe loves the shit out of them. And then when you come back, you have no home, so you're going back on the road. It's like... I just don't know, man. The story confused the shit out of me.
Yeah, it's like TNA, they do like one step okay forward, but then something happens and they're like stumble 3 steps back.
Yeah, I don't know. As a matter of fact, you know what? You gave me a great idea for an ending song of the night. As I think we've had enough of this. There we go. I mean, it was just appropriate, man. I mean,
I completely agree.
I would have used the Benny Hill music, but you know what? That's my boy JJ's gimmick. So I said, you know what? Let me find something just as ridiculous, and I think that worked. Because the story in itself is just ridiculous. I just don't know, man.
Yeah, you gotta wonder, what's TNA? Are they gonna try to find just places that are short-term, or are they gonna try to find a place that's like a long-term deal? I mean... hopefully they don't decide, heck, let's go to the arena that the OECW shows are going. Because I heard that place is still under renovation and it's not in good condition right now.
Oh, the ECW. You talking about the one here, was it in Jersey? The Hammerstein?
The arena. You know how like the first ECW pay-per-view was at?
Oh, the Bingo Hall.
Yeah, Bingo Hall.
Okay,
I heard that place is still under renovation and what they had like a... I think at the last CCW show, the place was like, oh my God.
Well, see, here's my deal. And we talked about this before with L-Train. I said I was going to bring this up before we close it out for tonight. You know, you got to remember, when you look at the WWE, Vince McMahon, that's where his bread is buttered, okay? As I've heard that the WWE stocks have been going through the fucking roof and the company's like almost worth $1 billion again. That's where every time Vince purchases anything and goes into his wallet, he knows where his bread is buttered. He knows it's WWE. My life, my company is a wrestling company. If this wrestling company ever dies, all my wealth and fortune dies with it. When I look at Dixie Carter, and this isn't for sure. I don't know the woman. I've never met her. There are people on this network who probably know her far better than I do. And I think that deep down she's a wrestling fan. But at the end of the day, if TNA goes out of business, Dixie Carter is still heir to one of the most rich, most powerful fucking energy companies on planet Earth. She ain't going to be starving if TNA goes out of business. Does that have something to do with the kind of nonchalant way she handles the company? That's just a theory of mine. It's like, it seems to me sometimes like TNA to her is a train set. You know, you have a train set, you play with it, you fiddle with it. But at the end of the day, if it breaks, you really don't care because you're still well off. I mean, I don't know if that makes sense. It's just that it's not her primary source of income. Therefore, she doesn't probably care as much as she could.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not one of those people like, oh, TNA has to die. It should die. No.
No.
I'm hoping it stays because, like I said, how was WWE when they had just, it was just that company? It wasn't that good for the long term. They need competition. I mean, I'm not saying TNA is competition, but have another alternative to watch wrestling. I mean, there's ROH. Unfortunately, their TV deal is not really that good. I mean, I'm in California. You cannot see it on TV.
No, here neither. I mean, unless I get it on the internet somehow, which I could readily do if I wanted to. But, I mean, it's just I don't like going and looking for wrestling. I mean, it's just like I want it to be presented on a national level. And ROH is good, and their fans are some of the best fans I've ever heard from. But
in a way, they're a little fickle. I mean, they want sometimes a guy to be the champion, and after he becomes the champion, they're more or less they turn their back on him and want the next guy.
Well, you have to remember at the end of the day, we're fans. I mean, you and I can sit here and do a podcast and everyone can sit out there and do podcasts and shit. But at the end of the day, we're just fans. You know, what we want, it does have some bearing on what the companies do. But when it's all said and done, they're going to fucking do what they want. So don't think that, I'm not saying don't have a voice as a wrestling fan. You certainly should. You should express your opinion to the companies. But don't ever think, you know, it was kind of like when they started this petition for Daniel Bryan versus Punk at WrestleMania. Now, while I would love to see that, WWE looks at that and they're like, really? You know, come on.
Yeah, I mean, people who are fans like this say, oh, this should happen, this should happen. Yeah, you got a right to judge your opinion, but don't think your opinion is the just all beat all thing. That's why I hate sometimes you see these people on YouTube and all that saying like, oh, this sucked because of this and this. If I wasn't running the company, like, yeah, if you ran the company, you have to deal with all this other stuff too. You wouldn't be just focusing basically your armchairing coaching.
Well, I mean, it's like, I could say, oh, if you put me in charge of TNA, I'd do a better job. Well, the thing about that is there are other people you have to answer to, you know. Excuse me, unless you're a Vince McMahon and you actually own the company where, you know, that's it. You know, it comes across Vince's desk. 75 employees approve this. Vince gets it across his desk. He doesn't like it. He puts a red stamp on it and throws it away. You're never going to have that type of power. Even Eric Bischoff didn't have that type of power. At the end of the day, he had to answer to Ted Turner. Dixie seems like she has to answer to maybe her parents. I don't know how that works. But unless you're truly God in a wrestling company, you're never going to have full say.
Yeah, remember how when they had Vince Russo signed to WCW, fans were like, oh my, great, yeah, he was the one that made WWE so popular. No, he had a hand in it, no question. But here's the thing, WCW didn't have a filter like Vince McMahon was to basically kibosh some of the stuff that Russo was suggesting.
Well, I mean, and Russo said that Vince usually just went with their ideas and maybe tweaked them up a little bit, but there was still some tweaking going on. You know, it's, you know, like Vince Russo. So what we're going to do is on Raw, we're going to have two midgets fucking. And Vince would probably be like, McMahon would be like, well, instead of two midgets fucking, can we just have Shawn Michaels versus Diesel? Okay, that'll work too. You know, that's...
Way to go jumping into that conclusion, but okay.
I mean, you know, some of the shit Russo came up with was, I mean, I don't know. Again, for about the 15th time tonight, that's a show for another day. I mean, it's just...
Yeah. Really... Name of this episode, A Show for Another Day, or something like that.
Yeah. Well, I don't know, man, but it's good to be back. It seems like it's been forever since I did a show, so it's great to be back. And we're going to be back even more this Tuesday, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, on Plug Returns Live with myself, Mr. Money on the Mic, Jeff Jackson, and Anthony will be coming in to talk some NXT with us.
Yeah, and not only will I talk about last week's show, I'll also talk about at least the tremendous match that happened on the Year in Review show.
Yeah, so look forward to that. I'm looking forward to talking to JJ again. It's been a while since he and I have been on the air. That's going to be a lot of fun. The Elite Force podcast, from what I've read on Facebook, is on hiatus for right now. Both the midweek and weekend, the guys are going to take a little bit of a break, and that's cool. Everyone deserves a little bit of a break, but they will be back sooner rather than later. Check them out when they do return. Beyond the Bell with Sean Beckerman every weekend. His segment, of course, on Raw, Unplugged, where he takes us back in time in this day in wrestling history. The Whole Indie Show, check out their archive every week. Sticks and Flicks by Ashley. All your movies and gaming, check that out. A ton of content here on the SNS Radio Network. If I've forgotten anyone, I'm sorry. The next Sunday Night Showdown, obviously, will return for the Royal Rumble, which will be a really big deal, the first SNS of 2014. That'll be in a few weeks. So look forward to that. All the programming here. It's 2014. It's a new beginning. And 2013 was a real good year for me. And I'm looking forward to it, man. So I want to thank Anthony, my co-host. I want to thank L-Train for having the balls to review TNA. And he did, I would say, a fine job. And he's welcome back anytime. Anthony, your closing thoughts, bro. What's up?
I got to say, 2013 was a good year for me. I mean, I was given a shot to be doing the NXT recaps, and I admit I was green as goose shit at the beginning, but I got better and all that, especially since I got now a Skype connection, and you said you give me a shot to do get in the zone, which I greatly appreciate, and I hope to improve as this year goes on.
And, you know, to anyone out there, I think Anthony's doing a fine job, and he will be here every week until I say otherwise. So you're
stuck with me, people.
That's it. Whether you like it or not, if you don't like it, well, I don't know what to tell you, man. Just deal with it. That's the bottom line, because Bronxy says so. We're going to get out of here, guys. Thanks for listening. Thanks for downloading. Thanks for supporting. Check out our Facebook page. There's a Get in the Zone Facebook page. Of course, the SNS Radio Network Facebook group. If you're not there, there's definitely something wrong with you. 500-plus members, all your news, everything. A lot of other Facebook pages for all the individual shows. You can find them very easily if you look for them. Happy New Year, everyone. Looking forward to a great one. This has been Get in the Zone right here only on the SNS Radio Network.